filmmaker Nicole Kahn is here to talk about her new feature film, More Beautiful for Having Been Broken, and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Charlotte. So good to be with you again.
Tell us about your film.
Well, the film took me many years to make. I started this early 2014, and it originally was this story about this little special needs boy who helps, you know, these women and people in this very small isolated fishing community all to heal. And he brings love to his mother through his connection to a newcomer, Mackenzie DeRitter, who's an FBI agent who's on leave for erratic behavior following her mother's death. And she arrives at this very quaint little place that she used to go with her mother, and that's the reason she's there. She doesn't really know why she's there, but she came to sort of like re-commune with her mother. And as she's there, this little kid, Freddie, played by the unbelievable Kale Farren, begins to, you know, put on his charm offensive and break her down and get into her heart and help her heal as well and bring her to his mother.
What was your inspiration for telling this story?
It was originally inspired by my son and my daughter because I had gone through a period of people really just not seeing our kids with special needs and had tried several times to put a special needs character into a film that I was making. And so one of the things that really inspired this was to make our kids who have special needs and are the most incredible humans on this planet to bring their story a little bit closer for people to understand who they are. It then became something also that had to do with what happens when people, you know, are sort of broken, because that's what happened to me during this project. I ended up losing my sister, my brother, and my father within 22 months of each other in all very unrelated deaths. And, you know, I cracked and went under. And when I started coming out of what was going on for me, I realized there was so much beauty in healing. And that's where the film really became focused on that concept of more beautiful for having been broken and really appreciating things in life that I just had never really, really appreciated fully until that all happened to me. So that was imbued into the film. And the dance pieces were also very much honoring my sister, who was a professional ballet dancer at one point. So the story became sort of a cathartic experience for me, as well as very deeply rooted in that healing.
What do you hope to accomplish with this film?
I really hope that, especially through Kale Farren, who actually has Fanconi anemia, which is a rare genetic disorder, that people will see who our kids with special needs are in a different way. What my son, for instance, provides for me is an ability to, whenever I'm with him, to completely drop into utter mindfulness and just be in the moment and celebrate the moment. And that's been one of my very, very greatest gifts. And I wanted to be able to share that with people, because so many people think having a kid with special needs is a burden or terrible or whatever. And I also wanted to get that across in the film, that no, so many moms who I connect with, we don't feel that way. We feel so blessed to have these kids in our lives because they're our greatest teachers. I know that sounds totally corny, but it's absolutely true. So in Kale Farren's performance, I'm hoping that people see basically kind of who my son is and all the other kids out there who, you know, are utterly able to be able to see, you know, once again, the commonness in us all. We're all just the same. It's sort of, you know, the parallel to gay and lesbian characters before they became all inclusive. That's what I'm trying to do with this film, and to let people whose neighbor might have a special needs kid or their cousin understand their world a little bit better, and the world of the mother, played by Kayla Radomski, who just, for me, it's like she just plays the mama bear, warrior mom so incredibly. And that's what I wanted to try to do, is to show our kids and, you know, why they are so special.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, one of the things I became aware of when I was doing social media on this film, compared to when I did social media on She For Me or even A Perfect Ending and Elena Undone, I've been getting messages from women all over the world from, like, places I didn't even know exist, like Kerbati. I didn't even know that was a place. But Indonesia, Romania, Turkey, Czechoslovakia, I mean, it just literally everywhere in the world that people have seen my films, they seem to have helped them feel or think about their own relationship to their sexuality. What my mission is for the rest of my career is to continue to make films by, for, and about women, you know, with their complex lives. And I want to have people feel and think. That's my two directives as a director is make people feel, number one, that's my biggest one, and make people think about something maybe they didn't quite see before or a different perspective on something. Also, my films are, you know, usually considered highly romantic, and I know romance is a dirty word in our culture still, but as you and I were talking about, I really believe this kind of beauty, which is in this film, can be sort of an antidote to all the pain we've been feeling as a people, whether it's, you know, living through the Republicans selling their soul to their cult leader Trump or being challenged by the C-19. You know, I think we just all need a break, and I feel like romance can help balance the scales for people and have them have positive feelings that are good, and it's a thing that helps them really feel and be able to express those feelings. And for me, that's really my greatest reward. So that's what I want to accomplish with my work, to have people feel and think.
You live in California. How are you dealing with social distancing and your stay-at-home orders?
Well, I, like many of my fellow independent filmmaker friends, we pretty much work out of our jams all day long, isolated from the world on a regular basis. But in this home specifically, because of Nicholas, who has severe and chronic lung disease, we have a very, very strict rule. There's only two nurses that are allowed to work with him who don't have any other patients, and myself. We've had to take nurses off the schedule because they work, you know, in hospitals or things along those lines. So we are dealing with it very strictly, wiping everything down with Lysol, dealing with all of that stuff on a very regular basis for Nicholas. And my daughter, who's been, you know, sort of quarantined at home here, is doing her sophomore year Wesleyan in Connecticut here from the house. And she has to observe social distancing in order to stay in this house with her brother. So it's all very, very pretty strict packed for Nicholas' health.
How can people get information about you and also about your film, More Beautiful for Having Been Broken?
Well, the best way is to go to my writer-director's page on Facebook, Nicole Kahn, writer-director, or they can go to More Beautiful Movie on Facebook or morebeautifulmovie.com. We just announced worldwide distribution with Vision Films. One of the things that was important to all of us was to have this film be seen by the mainstream, because the story about Freddie is a family drama, essentially, and we really wanted to break out into the mainstream. And so having Vision pick up the film has been an extraordinary plus for us. Also, Vision, it's run by a woman named Lisa Romanoff, who's just an amazing dynamo businesswoman. She allowed us to bifurcate the deal and give the DVD to Wolf Video because she knew that would serve the women's community, as well as Wolf Video will also do on-demand VOD and streaming starting May 8th. People who want to order the DVD can order through Wolf Video. The DVD is being released on April 7th. So many, many women ask from all over the world where they can get the DVD. We're working on territories everywhere. We have a distributor in the UK now who's working on parts of Europe. I know the Brazilian contingent really wants to get their hands on this film. So we're working on all of those things as rapidly as we can, preparing now to get the DVDs out on April 7th. I spoke to Kathy Wolf, and she had told me they all came in. They look beautiful, and they'll be ready to ship for people. And as the women who have been bugging us for months, they will finally have their DVD in hand shortly after April 7th.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, my next film will be a project called Do We Not Bleed. It's really dark, and it's a little bit more edgy than my other work, and a little also on the experimental side for me as a filmmaker. I'm going to try something I haven't done before. I won't share that yet. I want to just see if it's going to actually work. But it's about two women who meet in a very specialized grief group that offers help to family members who have lost a loved one to a sudden and unexpected and violent homicide. And this is based on a program that is in Australia. It's the only one of its kind where people connect with these victims of their family being shot or killed in whatever tragic way, and they connect with them at that time and then are with them all through the trial. And so I was speaking to a woman who's become a consulting producer there who works for that organization, and have based some of the storyline on that, as well as we've been trying to consider if we can shoot part of this in Australia, as we have a very strong Australian contingent, and that the dollar is a lot stronger there and will last a lot longer. But we're trying to do a budget to figure out if all of that will actually work out. But these women deal with grief as polar opposites, but as time goes by, they sort of reluctantly discover that they can only heal with one another, and eventually they fall in love. And I know this sounds like terribly tragic, but there's a lot of humor in the piece as well to lighten it up. But it definitely comes from my experiences with my family, one of whom was shot to death. And so it's one of the things that is very present for me. And it sort of grabbed me, and I can't let go of it. So that'll be the next film out.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Not exactly ask me, but there's a question that a lot of people do ask me that I'd like to respond to. I've had so many women, again, from all over the world, ask how they can support my filmmaking. And so, as you well know, crowdfunding has sort of grown old and stale. And doing a crowdfunding, I've crowdfunded the last three things I've done. It's harder than making the movie. It really is on some levels. And so I thought, okay, what would make it easy for lesbians to look in their pocketbook and decide what they can do to support having a film every year or two, not just by me, but other filmmakers as well. I'm looking at a new funding model for our community, and it basically goes like this. It's a subscription model if you want to do $1.99 a month. It's a donor model if you want. There's going to be like 7 or 8 donor prizes for levels of donation. There's cash for credits. They can pay for a credit, which is what helps finance most of More Beautiful. People bought executive producer credits, associate producer credits, etc. And then finally, they can invest. So there will be a landing page under NicoleKahnFilmsGlobal.com that will allow people to donate, subscribe, whatever works best for their pocketbook. And I'm trying this because the old way is just essentially killing all of us. All the filmmakers I know, we're all in the same boat. The festivals have literally just completely evaporated on the women's side. It's really, the programming has become either studio features or whatever is the, you know, cause du jour. And some of the projects that women want to see at those festivals just aren't being programmed. And when we traveled with the festival for the last 6 months, it was so sad to see the women's program being so poorly attended, and that's across the board. So I feel like women have assimilated our characters into every, you know, television show. We're token everywhere. But if women still want films by, about, and for their community, they will have to support the small indie filmmaker. And that's basically kind of where it is. If I've changed funding models, you know, for 30 years, because that's what you have to do in this business to stay alive. So I'm going to be opening that up in the next few weeks, and we'll see how it goes.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through these difficult times?
Well, in this particular case, I feel like I want to try to see the silver lining. And in this case, I think Mother Earth and the entire universe is getting a well-deserved rest from humanity. She's taking a deep sigh. And humanity might consider all the things we are blessed to have during this very challenging time and rethink our priorities. I believe this is an opportunity for a universal reset to help us heal and become maybe a kinder, gentler world.